Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hey everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. A rare Monday finish in NASCAR today, and after the race was postponed on Sunday, Martin Truex Jr., the 19 car who qualified 13th, has just won the Gander RV 400 from Dover. It's Truex's third win at that track. Alex Bowman second, Kyle Larson third, Kevin Harvick fourth, and Chase Elliott the pole setter. He rounds out the top five. One afternoon game in baseball. Not rain, but bees causing a delay in Cincy. Brian Dietrich came out to play an exterminator there. And the Reds rookie Nick Senzel, absolutely fantastic, hitting home runs in his first two plate appearances. Desclafani the win, Pomeranz the loss. Cincinnati hammering San Francisco 12-4 the final. MLB sched tonight. Next game up, 6:10. We got the White Sox at Cleveland. Tribe minus 265, total 9. Nova versus Bauer. 6:35 baseball. Seattle at the Yankees. Yanks minus 150, over under 9. We got Fernandez and Sabathia, battle of veterans there. 7:05 Boston minus 170 at Baltimore. 9.5 Smith taking on Means. We got 7:07 action. Minnesota at Toronto. Jays minus 120. 8.5 Perez and Stroman. Arizona battles Tampa Bay at 7:10. Rays minus 220. 7.5 Kelly versus Snell. 7:40 action. Washington at Milwaukee. Brew Crew minus 115, 7.5. Scherzer and Chassin and the Nats. Plane had issues last night. Stranded in Philly. They're in Milwaukee now. We'll see how tired they are tonight. 2 at 8:05. Miami at the Cubs. Cubbies minus 265, 7 flat. Alcantara versus Hamels. Philly at the Cardinals. Cardinals minus 130, total 9. Velasquez versus Mikolas. Kansas City taking on Houston. Astros minus 288 is your total. Junis and Cole. Two more at 10-10. Atlanta and the Dodgers. Dodgers minus 165, over under 8. Gossman and Buehler. And the Mets minus 15 at San Diego. DeGrom versus Paddock. Low total 6.5. The Boston Red Sox have put lefty starter David Price on the IL with left elbow tendonitis. Right-hander Ryan Weber has been called up from AAA Pawtucket in a corresponding move. Price, the Red Sox most reliable starter during a tough start to the season. The 33-year-old leads the team in ERA, whip, and strikeouts. Doubleheader in the NBA playoffs tonight. Real tight lines. Things getting going early tonight for the NBA at 7 o'clock. Boston hosting Milwaukee. Celtics minus 1.5, 220. The Bucks lead this series 2-1. Next on the docket, Golden State and Houston Rockets. That one's set for 9:30. Pick 'em, straight pick 'em. 220.5. Golden State up 2-1 there. NFL news. Bills former lineman Richie Incognito working out with the Oakland Raiders. The 35-year-old has been involved in numerous off-field problems and controversies, including getting arrested at his father's funeral for making threats and disorderly contact. Two more elimination games on the ice tonight. First game of the doubleheader, Columbus and Boston, 7 o'clock. Jackets, 25-cent favorites. Total 5.5. Boston up 3-2 there. Game 2 at 10 o'clock. Colorado playing host to S.J. Sharkey. The Avalanche laying 130. Over-under also 5.5 in this game. San Jose leads this series 3-2. Ken Holland taking over as GM of the Oilers. Next step, getting rid of those bad contracts and salary caps restrictions. Steve Yzerman finding his right-hand man today. Former Tampa Bay Lightning exec Pat Verbeek will join Yzerman in the Detroit Red Wings front office as an assistant GM and Liverpool star Mo Salah. He's going to miss Tuesday's Champions League semifinal game there. The second leg versus Barcelona. He had a concussion. And maximum security will not be running in the Preakness. Race 2 of the Triple Crown. The horse's ownership says they will appeal the disqualification for interference after finishing first in the rain-soaked Derby on Saturday at Churchill Downs. And after a long delay, the horse was disqualified. Country House ended up being the winner at 65-1. This appeals process could take months, but owner Gary West says there's no need for maximum security run after an opportunity to the Triple Crown was lost. Simple as that. Hey, we got game picks galore. It's me, I'm Cam Stewart, and Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. So stick it here, everybody. Lots of fun today on a Monday. Mike Blewett stops by and a whole lot more. Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Thanks for playing the radio. Energy Sports, the radio network, iHeartRadio.
Also on YouTube, I'm Gabe Morenci, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart on this Monday afternoon. We've got a couple of NBA games, a couple of NHL games. We didn't really get much into the NHL today, if at all, on the morning after. We spent a lot of time talking about the Kentucky Derby, and we spent a lot of time talking NBA basketball, except, to be honest, it was mostly Kentucky Derby talk, Cam. And we spoke with a Hall of Famer, two-time Kentucky Derby winner. This guy's won like 188 races or something like that, like major ones. And I don't even, it's crazy if you look at his bio. Jerry Bailey. Mike Smith. Yeah, this week, Jerry Bailey. We're holding our own on the morning after.
Hang up job. Oh, man, the guests you guys have been getting have been absolutely world-class, top-notch. Kudos to you and your producer, Gabe. And yeah. What can I say about this race? As a friend, I texted you after the win, and I turned to Hainser 5 minutes later and go, we have an inquiry here, buddy. And it just kept on dragging on, and I feel your pain, buddy. I didn't want to talk about it afterwards. It was absolutely craziness. And the only issue, I know you've talked about it all day. I'll simply say this. It's been talked about too much. The fact is, this horse should have won. The wrong inquiry was put in. The 20 horse had nothing to do with anything. It was the one horse, Tyler Gaffalione. That's the horse that got tripped up. War of Will. But anyway, horse racing, Gabe, we've been in the business. It's a lot of shenanigans. And what else can you say? I know a lot of people are defending it. I think it's a shitty way to lose.
You know, it's funny, actually. So we had Jerry Bailey. I will replay the interview later. And
I'd like to hear
first thing he asked. Yeah, first thing he asked. He goes, well, do you guys watch horse racing or only the Kentucky Derby?
Exactly. And
I told him, I said, no, I own a horse. And, you know, I go to the Meadowlands every day. He's like, okay. So he basically wanted to talk whether we knew what we were talking about or not. You know what I mean? Yes. He said, yeah, I just wondered, do you guys like follow this stuff or is it just sort of? I said, no. And yeah, so it's good stuff. You know, I was mad after it happened. And immediately after, I was like, well, whatever. Yeah. That's racing and it is what it is. I mean, we got boxed in. That's racing. I mean,
yeah. it happens.
It was a little extreme and he veered too much. You know what I mean? The horse just got spooked late. Started veering from lane to lane, and it was a violation. And to be honest, if it was just another race, they would have just called it right away. The longer it went on, I started to know that they were going to overturn it. But like you stated, I mean, War of Will didn't even actually file the complaint.
That's the thing. That's
a couple of other horses that were also runs anyways. Bodie Express was the one that filed a complaint. Bodie Express and somebody else. And you know what's interesting? Roadster got screwed up a little bit in all of this. Mm-hmm. But Baffert didn't file a complaint after either. And Baffert said, I wasn't going to win. He said, I wasn't going to win anyways. And I like what Baffert said. He said, that's racing, man. He goes, if I complained every time I got boxed out or something. And Dwayne Lucas, who didn't have a horse, I don't think, right, this time around?
I don't think so.
Dwayne, who I've always had a lot of respect for, you know, I don't know him personally, but he trained Thunder Gulch. So, but Dwayne Lucas said after, if I filed an inquiry or an objection at every derby that something went wrong for me, you know, he said, sometimes you have to take your ass kicking like a man. That's what Dwayne Lucas said. And he said, it's the Kentucky Derby. Everybody knows the rules going in. And that's the way I'm sort of been brought up in this, Cam, too, that the Kentucky Derby's a rough-and-tumble race, man. There's 20 horses on the track.
And that's the
problem.
There's
going to be some contact. Yeah?
Hey, you as a guy that loves animals and there's no reason 20 horses should be running in that eight race anymore.
Oh,
there should be an auxiliary gate. 15, max it out. That's my opinion. It'll never change.
Yeah, it turns out the highest-rated Kentucky Derby ever.
Of course. Controversy.
Controversy sells. People said, it's not the sport. No, it's just another day of it.
Hyper.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
rocking some metal. All right, let's roll. Game time decision. Ready to raise our radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gable Brancy. Throwing it down on this Monday afternoon. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, Mike Blewett will join us. Jerry D. Bailey will talk Kentucky Derby. We talked to him this morning. We'll replay the interview from a guy that's, you know, I think he's the only jockey ever to win Jockey of the Year 7 times. Like you said, Cam, one of the maybe the best jockey ever, actually. One of the winningest jockeys of all time.
Up there. Yep.
Yeah. So he thinks it was the right call. Most people do think
of people do. Yeah, horse racing.
Yeah, most people do. Yeah, most people do.
It's the letter of the law, Gabe, but here's the story. Sally Housecoat and whatever, this is what the Kentucky Derby is. These people who watch the Kentucky Derby, other than, you know what I mean, are mostly fair weather fans. They're not watching him let go Aqueduct, going down to the OTB. Yeah. Bunch of jerks, bandwagon jumpers. That's what we'll call them. Oh, yeah,
front runners.
Bunch of jerk front runners.
Oh, Jerry. A bunch of front runners.
Front runners.
We'll get to that after. Jerry doubles down.
We will get to that. And, yeah, I like Don and all. And the best is he also called Northern Dancer about the Kentucky Derby. Like, he was all over the place that night, Gabe. It was actually one of the craziest coaches' corner ever. Me and Hainser were just like, we were slack-jawed at the end of it. But this is the problem with the Kentucky Derby. You have to change everything about it. You know what I mean? It was called, obviously, by the stewards. They took way too long to do it. And another thing is, no one cares about these hats and the features that you're doing on booze for 3 or 4 hours, too. If you're really, you know what I think? The thing is, but that's what they do because, obviously, non-hardcore fans are tuning in for the first time. It's not like guys like Blessing and Horse Guys, Jerry Bailey, whatever. Like, they'll watch any race every day all the time and buy the program. But the Kentucky Derby coverage, I think, like, for 4 hours of that nonsense, it was a pretty bad product. Like, those features were horrible.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. But yeah, so what don't they have like Tara Lipinski and that Johnny Weir guy and like that?
Yeah,
they do like
they,
the fashion.
This year was Von Miller. Yeah. It was Von Miller this year. He had like Von a pink Miller. Suit on and, you know, they got talking to Tom Brady. He's giving his picks and people you don't know up. And then there's this like NBC comedian guy in an NBC coat giving his picks. And other than Eddie Olchuk, who actually bets on horses, it was just kind of like, I don't know, the whole thing to me, it's just, I'm so done with the pregame.
They sell the fluff.
They had like a B track going. Yeah, they sell the fluff.
Yeah. Well, I got hammered. I got hammered on Friday night. Bavona.
How was that party? You really went for it this weekend.
Yeah. And we had a couple of drinks at the Kentucky Derby after as well, too. My schedule is all screwed up, but my computer got broken, Cam.
Oh, boy. How'd it get
the same computer? But it didn't. I'm living with it. I don't know what the hell happened, bro. Because I didn't use it. I didn't do anything. Sussman was my witness. I didn't use the computer. So I think it was like raining out or something, but I was pretty hammered. I took an Uber, but the next day there was like some sort of little water damage on the screen or something like that. So the computer, the hardware works, everything's good, but the screen sort of flashes and stuff like that. So,
Abe, I'm going to be honest with you, and I really like, I like to use a person. That computer has been through, like, I've seen that cord in that computer. Think about the places, the way you've grabbed it, you've done it, the shows you've done from Vegas, room, the casino, to whatever. The fact that that thing's still running, I got to hand it to Apple. It's built more like a Mack truck or a bank in Fort Knox because nobody abuses a computer like you do, brother. I got to hand it to those guys. It's actually impressive that it still works. Sorry.
This is the same.
I have to defend the computer.
This is the same computer that... It's the same computer that was left on the plane in Vegas, even. It's been through a lot.
I rest my case.
It's been through a lot.
Everywhere. It can write its own book. Screw your book with page publishing.
The computer's got
chapters.
it really does. Yeah, it was quite the weekend. So we got blasted on Friday at the party. I wake up, suddenly there's no sound on the computer. My God, that's just great. Whatever. Every time I turn it on and off and you don't like to deal when a computer's whack. Every time I turned it on and off, there was like a new problem or the other problem was gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
it was like sort of random 101. I was like, well, the sound is on, but I'm like, now the screen is a little whacked out. and then yesterday, I'm like, man, it's fine. It's good. And like just the color was kind of weird. I'm like, I don't know. It seems to be fine. I had a weird vision last week. I thought exactly of that. Cam, I swear to God, what you just stated, I had a weird chuckle about Vegas, and I was like, man, this computer, because something sort of froze. I was like, man, one of these days, this is going to break. And lo and behold, like, it happens a couple of days later, but I'm fine. I'm fighting through it. So anyways, I woke up early, and I'm like, ah, it's just great. And I took a little nap after. Didn't see any of the pregame at all. Like, none of the pre-show. I got to the track camp at about 6:15, 6:20, literally.
Yeah. Perfect time to get there, 30 minutes before race time.
Riggs called me. He said, hey, I'm on my way. I haven't seen Riggs since March Madness. So I said, all right, yeah, I'm on my way. And Corey was there. So we went and, went over the track, got there. Big line. You should have seen it, Cam. There was, like, lineup. Uber was $26 to get to the Meadowlands. Normally, it's $14. Like, they knew it was Kentucky Derby. Yeah. I'm going to Meadowlands Racetrack at 6 o'clock. They knew what the hell I had to get there. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's called super. I'm actually surprised it was that cheap. Super surge pricing. Sometimes it's triple the amount, Gabe. These guys really, they're running a real good racket there. They know what's going on.
$26 took forever. There was traffic. It was like the Super Bowl or something, man. It was like a mile lineup to get. I was like, dear God, even at like 10 minutes before the race. But just like when you and I used to race, Cam, they kept pushing that starting time back and back. You noticed?
Oh, they sure do. Yeah, get off. You know what? That's the best thing about horse racing.
Used to be 6:20, man. They went off at like 7 o'clock, bro.
Buddy, it's the biggest scam going. Like every
single. I got
single
there.
Session,
I saw the thing.
Action.
It was like 28 minutes to post time. I'm like 28 minutes to post time. It's 6:18 right now. I was like, I just rushed. I just like ran through the parking lot. I got out of the Uber because it was so busy. I said, I'll go from here. I did the little gambler degen jog. Not a sprint, but a little, you know what I mean?
Like, you're not sprinting, no.
Because I knew when I got in there, there was going to be a big lineup to bet them, right? So, of course, there's like tens of thousands of people in line. It's like the next race, 12 minutes to post time, blah, blah. And Riggs goes, look, no line here in the $20 minimum line, Cam. So I'm like, what the hell? Just start dropping 20s down. And, it was a good time. Didn't work out well, but we hit the Houston Rocket game after. We went back last night. We hit the Denver Nuggets over. And we hit a bunch of props last night, including Nikolai Jokic to have a triple-double at plus 240. And I was at the track earlier in the day. I nearly played a pony, actually, but my Uber showed up before. If I had time to get the race in, I was going to do it, but... I played a lot of games today, Cam. I played a lot of baseball. Shook it up. It's weird because I haven't bet baseball in about a week or 5 days or something. And
funny,
I got three baseball pictures.
So it's an interesting card in baseball tonight, too. Weird start times. We got a 6:10 game. Yankees and Mariners, 6:35. Just some nice pitching matchups there. Interesting, Gabe. Yeah, no, I like basically we'll save it for game time decisions. But I'm not captain. I know what? Actually, tonight I'm riding. I'm a little bit chalky too. I like every home team in both sports, in all the major sporting events tonight.
This is Frankie front runner. This is Frankie front runner right here. Like, this is his public, almost his place. It's almost embarrassing. I've got the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the LA Dodgers.
That's fair. That's about it.
I'm a big city kid.
Yeah. You like your big city teams, Gabe. Dodgers are going to rebound after a heartbreak or two. On Sundays, there was, I think, five games that had walk-off potential, like craziness. All these, it's fun. I go on these forums and these sites, and these idiots are like, it's 1-0 in the first inning. Hey, what a lock. Like, obviously, you're new to gambling. You haven't seen anything about baseball. Baseball leads change about 7-8 times a game. Like, it's nuts. And I'll tell you, man, it's absolute craziness. But I'll tell you, Gabe, I'm riding it with those home teams tonight in the NBA and hockey, and I might not even play one baseball game tonight, to be honest with you. And I had the Cincinnati Reds earlier today, but that's it. Small card.
Yeah, I got carried away with the props. And I started with one. It just started going. I've got, like, pretty much every player playing tonight to go over in their point props. I got the Boston Celtics. I got the Houston Rockets. I got baseball. I got basketball props. We'll jump in with the NHL Hawks. Mike Fluin will join us next. Game Time Decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I hate putting in obvious timing, sick and ashamed, and I can't go on, can't go on, can't go on.
Game time decision. Ready, Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. All right, I'm Gabriel Moretzi, throwing it down to Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart, Jerry Bailey. We spoke with Jerry earlier in the morning. We'll replay that conversation a little bit later on. Did a great job. They even had Todd Pletcher on right before. It's like basically we've had everyone on besides D-Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert on the network. Great job by the crew at the Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network. So over the last week, covering the Kentucky Derby. Let's bring in Mike Blewett right now. What's going on, Mike?
Really took all the wind out of everybody's sails on Saturday, obviously, but a good job by us getting to talk to people that are in the know in the racing community. But it's a bummer. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We talk about replay all the time and how it becomes something that it wasn't intended to be used for. So I think you have another of it on Saturday.
You know, one thing. And I brought that up this morning only that, look, we're in an era right now where, you know, basketball last week, that was all the talk, right? Every team in the NBA was crying about the officiating. It's died down a little bit over the last couple of days. The NFL, obviously, their playoffs was marred by porous officiating, and it really did affect outcomes of games. We're in this new era now. I brought it up, too, that if you slow anything down today, you know, you can see whatever you want, really. If you want to start getting into it. But I got to be honest, though. You know, I was pissed off at the moment. And I had the ticket. Cost me maybe $140 or something. I would have gotten back $140 or something like that, maybe. So, you know, I wasn't, I was upset. And I was like, God, I was swearing at the track. And this is effing this. And I was yelling and stuff. So I'm not going to deny it. But I'm kind of over it. And like I said earlier, man, that's just another day at the track. It just happens to be the Kentucky Derby. Horse racing you know, 10 things can happen in a horse race. 9 of them are bad, guys.
Listen to this one. So Mike and Gabe, they had a pick six going at, I think it was the last race. I think it was at Gulfstream, okay? And there was like, Mike, there's literally 2 live tickets or whatever. The 9 horse, who somebody with that ticket, it was to win over $1 million. I'll never forget. The 9 horse, Rafael Bejanero, I think he was. He came over, and it looks like the jockey rolls off the horse as the horse finishes over the line without a jockey. Nobody wins the ticket. Like you want to talk about, like, that was madness. This, you can understand.
It's a bad beat.
19 horse. Oh, Moretti was one of the worst things ever. And the guy in the – and I was working
at Shula's Shows at the time. The jockey fell off.
Yeah. Man, my buddy had a pick 5 or 6 ticket his own. He wasn't part of the $1 million one, but it paid over $16,000 that didn't win because of that. And that's a big chunk of change. And this, as Morenci says, Mike, this stuff happens all the time. There's always hijinks and shenanigans. And my first tip is not having 19 horses in a race. I think we should just limit it down for the safety of the animals and move on from there.
Mark Lawrence, who's a regular with us.
Obviously, go ahead, Gabe. Sorry.
And Mark Lawrence, who's a regular, he's owned horses. He had a horse at Gulfstream that actually won. It won the race, and then after the race was over, it jumped the rail. It split, and it ran like it left. Like it left the track. It took off. And he goes, it was a miracle. It didn't get hit by a car. Nothing happened. They found the horse like 3 hours later in someone's backyard.
Amazing. Wow. What a story.
Like,
that's awesome. He gone.
That's luckier than him winning the race.
Yeah, about owning horses. And he'll go, oh, yeah, Gabe. And like, he'll go, once, yeah, our horse like left and like jumped the rail and took off and was found in a backyard. you know, crazy shit happens to the track every day. It just happened to be the Kentucky Derby and whatever. It was a violation, you know. They're very near lucky, I'll tell you right now. They're very near lucky that those horses didn't collide and get tripped up.
That's
because
Warville could have gone easily
Tyler
gone
Gaff
down.
Leone, I was going to tell you guys, Tyler Gaff Leone, for how he controlled War of Will in that situation. First of all, he's the best young jockey on the scene at Gulfstream. He's an animal. Like, Gabe, one of the best. Like, we talk about Ortiz and him. Like, Tyler Gaff Leone is amazing. Like, he is so good. And I watched that race again. We could have had deaths at the track and stuff. He should be commended. That was absolutely brilliant. And
that horse racing,
they didn't even file.
He's the guy who didn't even file. Exactly. He's the guy who had the objection. I thought the whole thing was crazy. That's why. But anyway, Gabe said it. It's horse racing. What are you going to do?
So I don't know if you guys saw, but the U.S. Navy has deported the USS Abraham Lincoln into the Gulf area to send a message to Iran right now. Just keep you up to date on what's going on in the real world. And I believe Mike Blewett's joining us from this this ship. Submarine, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that right?
What's going on? Like, normally, sometimes like you're underwater? Very clear, but like, yeah. Like, what are you speaking on? Like,
I don't know. I'm on my cell phone like I am every other time.
That sounds okay, Gabe. I got to be honest with you. That's better. It's better.
A little better.
Replace the microphone.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there,
I see. Are you speaking with a microphone in an earpiece or something like that?
Yeah. It's like a normal person that speaks on their cell phone.
No, no, you gotta hold the phone to your head, Mike. Yang!
He hates it.
Better? Are we better now?
Yeah, he's I was gonna say, didn't China? 100 times better.
Yang!
China?
I'm here, buddy.
Didn't China throw some missiles up this weekend, too?
I figured, Mike, yeah, but I'm just stating. We're supposed to, remember the list, Yang. Remember the list. Tell all people, are you on a headset or any weird, like, mic phone type weird thing? Then don't be. See, you sound much better already, Mike.
I know, but maybe you sound worse to me.
Yeah, but the thing is, not about you. It's about the listener.
I hear you. So let's – all right. I got it together now. Hopefully the listeners' experience is greatly improved.
Your opinion. All right, so
I love Mondays.
What's your take on the Kentucky Derby, Mike?
Mike's the best.
You can, haven't we moved to Kentucky Derby at this point?
Yeah. Okay. So, right decision, and it is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? It sucked. And I'll tell you another thing. The ratings were great. The ratings went up with the controversy, and now everyone's going to be watching next year's Kentucky Derby even more so. Because what's going to happen, right?
The only thing I'd say, the only thing I conclude with is that I sort of was with one of the color commentators the other day. Like, you can obviously in many, many races file protests, and we see it happen, and horses get DQ'd, jockeys get DQ'd. But if that's the intent, to slow down the film and to disqualify people, as opposed to really just going with the horse that was the best horse on the track that day and got spooked by the 150,000 people screaming at him, I probably would have gone with, let's keep it the way it is. But I understand. I can't totally object. I understand it.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't have done
it. I'm telling you, there would have been. It, man, so close to catastrophe, it'd be the end of horse racing as we know it. It'd be over.
Yeah, that's what me and Kirk
talked about.
Imagine
if people died live on NBC, it'd be done.
That could happen.
People would be like, 26 horses died in Santa Anita. Now two people died. It'd be like, Tyler Gaskiel's dead. Louis Size is dead. Like,
that's the thing.
I mean,
guys, the front page. It's a great point, Gabe. The front page of the Sports Business Journal this week is about the increase of racehorse deaths this year, and is the sport in crisis. That came out 4 days prior to the Derby being run. So, to your point, it is absolutely a conversation that is on the minds of horse racing aficionados like you guys and others, that is the sport in turmoil because of these racehorse deaths. And if something tragic had happened on Saturday, it might have been the end-all, be-all decision for people to make.
Listen, it's a beautiful sport. There's something great about the track. And the thunder, the sound, and you know what I mean? The whole – the night at a track, whether you're at a low-level track like Georgian Downs or the Meadowlands or Churchill, it's great. It's like being in a ballpark. But
– yeah.
And as someone that owned a horse and somebody that sort of saw this and already kind of knew it already, really, one of the reasons I'm kind of glad to be out of it is because of the whole overall cruelty of the whole thing. I don't think our horse liked being stuck in a little thing, trailer, with in the highway, stuck in traffic for 4 hours one night, Cam. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
the
not cool.
Yeah, like the whole, look at, man, what was that horse? Red Baron, man. They ran that horse to death. The horse died.
Red Bugler.
And they ran him to death. Yeah. He had a heart attack in a barn after a race. Yeah. And I get it. Animals die. But the thing is, even people that sort of love the animals, it's a bad business, man. It's a money pit. There's bad people in it. It's just, it's beautiful, but it isn't. I guess, you know, it's hard to describe, but it's a lot like boxing, I guess. But, you know, at least boxers, like, choose it. Like, the horse doesn't choose it. You know what I mean? People, oh, these horses get treated great. Not really. They don't. Like, and then after, when they're done, they really don't. And overall, like put it this way, like, 26 horses are dead at San Diego. Who seems to really care that much? You know what I mean? Who's really doing anything about it? And they have no answer for it. It's like, guys, like, you have a horse dying every day on your track here. Like, what's going on? Right?
Every time a horse is happy is when he's going out to stud, Gabe.
Yeah.
Party time. That's when things are fun. You know,
I personally think they should run on grass only. I would soften it.
I'd go the turf surface.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There's certain things I think you could do for the horse, but overall, it's random, man. You put 20 beasts. We're talking about monster animals, man. They're going 37, 38 miles an hour.
1,200 pounds.
Stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. They're big. I'll tell you this, though, Gabe. I didn't find this out till afterwards, and we don't like to give props to books or whatever, but I heard that Mr. Green paid out for both bets.
Yeah. Everyone paid out. Bet Online, Bet 365, everybody. You know who did it? The metal ass.
I know, because you're at the track. They'll never pay that. Exactly.
Hey, our boy Riggs. Our boy Riggs hit it, actually. Riggs actually had him.
Wow.
Only $2, though. $2. He bet on every horse, hoping for, like, a long shot.
He got it.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Quick for the fences, playing daily fantasy baseball with Daily Roto. Daily Roto lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather, fantasy projections, and the use of the same Daily Roto lineup officers that have produced millions of DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTY for a special 10% discount today.
Oh, get to a little DFS a little bit later on. Mike Blewett with us. So, NBA playoffs this evening. We're back at it. We have Boston and Milwaukee, and then Golden State and Houston. Big game. A big game across the board, but feels like, you know, that Golden State-Houston series is the one that everybody's looking forward to and talking about all the time, along with Kawhi Leonard's dominance. And what he's doing is just next-level stuff right now.
Sure,
Mike Blewett was in Philadelphia for game three, so he's at the wrong game. He should have been there for game four. Wrong one, but Mike Blewett. What were you doing in Philadelphia game? We were at a Sixer Raptor game.
So I am a huge NBA fan, as are you guys, but I also just happen to know a lot of people that work for the Sixers. So I had a ticket and made a run down from New York. They were back the same night. Great atmosphere. They do a really great job in Wells Fargo Arena of just really getting the crowd hyped up. And obviously for the whole crowd, it was a really big game. Embiid played tremendously. Well, Kawhi played great in that game too. Lowry was a dud in that game, and Philly was able to just sort of outlast them. But the crowd is in love with Joel Embiid. That's the one thing you can tell very plainly, whether it's on TV and especially in person. They love Embiid. They love the antics. They love the goofiness. They love all that stuff.
That's funny, too, because they would hate it. You know, it's very un-Philly-like if it was another player and another I guess it's fitting that they love him because we know he loves himself as yeah. well. And listen, it was a great game that he played, and I didn't criticize him for, like, the dancing and all that type of stuff, as you stated. Yeah. When you blow the other team out, you earn that right. And, you know, and the team feeds off him. The crowd feeds off him. You're right.
That's
it's
right.
He's very, very contagious. But he's also very inconsistent. And, you know, we could talk about the reasoning why, oh, he's hurt, oh, he's got food. You know what I mean? It just seems like there's always something. And, you know, it's interesting because the other night it was the game you were at, and Mark Jackson said one of the best of all time as he was checking out of the game. And Van Gundy lost it. Van Gundy said, what? And he said, one of the best of all time. And Van Gundy said, no. He said, pump the brakes. He said, don't insult Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bill Walton, Shaquille O'Neal, Patrick Ewing. He just went off, and he was best of all time. And he was talking about centers. He's like, come on, here's the names. That he, and oh, he got mad.
I get mad, dude. Yeah. That's stupid.
It is. That's stupid. Insane. I mean, Embiid's a good young player. He's not even like, when he's on, Mike, but he's rarely on. Okay, he goes, it'll be a crime if he leaves the game, barring an injury, not being compared to the best big man in the game that's ever played the game. He's in that discussion, says Mark Jackson during the broadcast.
No.
Van Gundy, pump the brakes. Pump your brakes. No. We're not doing this to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, to Will Chamberlain, to Bill Russell, to Shaquille O'Neal, to Hakeem Olajuwon, to David Robinson, to Patrick Ewing. Pump your brakes.
Yep. I'm with Van Gundy on this one. I'm with him. Yeah. So here's the reality. Embiid's game lines up so well with what modern NBA players are going to look like and how they're going to keep pushing to the next level. And if he is able to be consistent, which he isn't, as you correctly stated, then we're going to talk about him being a lockdown superstar. He isn't even that right now because he's inconsistent. I can't put him in the top five in the NBA. Potential, sure. But he hasn't been on he wasn't on the court for the first 2 years of his career, and then he's inconsistent even within this series. And then unless he continues to do that consistently through seasons and certainly through playoff seasons, then it's not a discussion. What really bothers me a lot of times is, and this happens both negatively and positively, is we talk about guys and game to game, and if somebody like LeBron, it's almost possession to possession. It's a referendum on how good or bad a player they are. Can we just look at the totality of it and say, yeah, he's great, but he's inconsistent. And until he's consistent, I can't mention him with those other names that Van
Gundy that's a good point that you raise. And it's something that's bothered me. And it's an overall modern media thing. It's a attention deficit thing. It's a social media thing where you're judged on shot. Yeah, a shot.
Talk about it in baseball. Five innings. Oh, a brilliant performance. Before guys are going out there, their arms are almost falling off. Me and you talk about that all the time. It's a different world that we're living in with different standards. It's just very different.
We're seeing this. We see this as a whole. I mean, you know, 48 hours ago, the Toronto Raptors were gutless bastard chokers, Mike. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That we're done. Yep. And Kyle Lowry has a back there. He's number one trending topic on Twitter, even in New York City. And every, you know, a bunch of GIFs. Kyle Lowry there. I saw that fat guy missing baskets. You know, that GIF that's up there now everywhere. Yet when Kyle Lowry takes a charge and has 14 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds and plays awesome defense all game, these low-life trolls are nowhere to be found. And then it's move on to the next player that sucks, right? Oh, now Lillard and McCollum can't get it done. I don't know. Last 4 days ago, Lillard was the best player of the NBA. Oh, he's better than Durant. Oh, he's the best. Look at what Lillard did. Oh, Westbrook's a piece of crap. Lillard's amazing. Now it's like, in a playoff series. Yeah. They never lost these jackets.
I'm guilty, right, Gabe, of the ripping the Raptors for game three, except for Leonard. But, you know, I thought their performance was pretty
gutless. Oh, I ripped it, too. It was bad.
Yeah, it was very bad. So game four was a lot better.
Yeah.
Not trolling, but
I mean,
you
didn't
gotta be fair.
The only thing I say about Lowry, Gabe, the only thing I say about Lowry is that we have seen Lowry, fortunately, over time, have some real duds, be terribly inconsistent throughout the playoffs. So now you have to give the guy credit when he plays a really good game like he did yesterday.
Yeah, but people didn't give him credit when he dropped 21, did they?
That's right.
Yeah.
No.
They did it.
They're just waiting to bang on him as opposed to giving credit.
Yeah, it's the modern stuff, right? Sure. You know, it's part of the deal, though. You know, these guys make a lot of money. It's part of it, but that's just modern fan, right? It's
one more guy that sucked into that. He's not a fan.
Jackson wants to be a coach in the NBA again and keep chop on ABC, so they morph into these suck ups.
Yeah.
Everyone's the best. Everyone's great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
what happened with John Gruden?
Yeah, Van Gundy tells it like it is because I don't think he cares. He sort of carved out the little niche as the grumpy guy. And the other guys on TNT, it's different. I don't know. They've carved out something special on that, you know, the Chuck Kenny and Shaq, whatever. Shaq's just there, but I should say Kenny and Chuck. But anyways, so who do you like, the Raptors or the Sixers in the rest of the series now? But you're biased. All your buddies. You might as well work for the Sixers.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're not wrong.
And we might as well work for the Raptors, Mike.
Exactly. My buddy. I'm friends with Leo Rowdens, the play-by-play guy. How do you like that?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
So and there you go. So we know who you're pulling for.
You're damn right. You know who I'm pulling for.
I'm tempted to say
Philly. I thought
Philly.
You were a New Yorker. You're like Bobby Boston. You're like Bob from Vermont. Are you a Knick guy?
I am a Knicks fan.
What is he, Sammy Sixer?
Yeah.
I am a Knicks fan, but don't you always root for your friends when you get into the business? Like, on some level, you're going to root for your friends, right?
No.
You do, Mike.
No.
I usually do.
Yes, you do. Come on, Gabe.
I say it all the time. I like Mike O'Shea, but we got to bet against you. And all kidding aside, Mike, this is the funniest story ever. You're going to like this, Cam, but I know an MMA fighter, and he was like a -250 favorite. And I told him, I said, dude, I can't lay -250 on you. I said, he goes, who are you betting on? I said, listen, I really hope you win, but I don't usually -250 favorite. And he ended up losing.
Well, I do really flexibility, but when Kawhi is playing like this, for me to bet against the best player in the series is a difficult thing to do.
Tobias Harris, that guy's ice cold. Ice cold.
Yeah.
He's like their Fred Van Fleet there. See, he was horrible the last game, man. He couldn't hit it, put it in the ocean.
That's the thing with Philadelphia, though. The rotations are weird. Like, one game, they're really lethal. They're an inconsistent team from game by game. We have a series on our hands right now, but I think the Raptors have learned about themselves. You know, they were in the valley of the shadow of doubt. And they came out of this, and they've got Kawhi leading the way. I think they'll continue the strong play back at home tomorrow night. So before we get you out of here, Mike, what about tonight? Who do you like? Boston, Milwaukee, Houston, and Golden State.
I'll take Milwaukee and Golden State. I think both of these teams stretch it and make the series, not necessarily put the series away, but make it really difficult on the opposing teams. And if that Portland-Denver series goes 7, it's going to be a bloodbath. I will absolutely be psyched about that game 7 because that's going to be a fist fight.
Yeah, it might not. I think Denver could close them out potentially. I sort of see Denver and Toronto in the same vein. They've been battling a little bit, but now as the series goes on, the class will sort of – I think both Portland and Philadelphia, they blew their chances of winning these series yesterday. They're both down. They're both in a weird spot. And I think, quite listen, you could argue, is Philadelphia better than Toronto? I don't know. I don't think they are, but they've been playing better. They looked real good. Toronto sort of had that funk, but I think Denver is just a better team than Portland.
They are.
Yeah, would have shocked
me. They look like a last night, that's for sure.
But ultimately, Lillard and McCollum and Curry can only do so much. Curry will get those flash little hot runs and stuff like that. But Denver are a deep team, guys. Denver, yeah. A deep team. I'm sticking to my prediction. Denver Nuggets, Toronto Raptors finals.
The NBA hate final. Yeah, they'll love that.
I predicted that, Cap, before when it started.
That's a tough ratings. That's a tough ratings book right there.
It's just, and honestly, if it was Toronto, Denver, these guys NBA at ESPN, they'll just snap things. Oh yeah, they will.
Would Silver even show up?
I don't know. That's a good question, Mike.
But Denver, Toronto. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna watch from our office.
Denver, New York. Toronto. That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare for the league.
Milwaukee good for the league?
It's better with Giannis, but Kawhi is the same as he's the same type of star power, in my opinion. Can't you just give Toronto some love?
Bigger.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but
Giannis is more intriguing than Kawhi. No.
What's that?
Giannis is more intriguing than Kawhi as a personality.
Sure.
I gotta be honest with you.
I love Kawhi Leonard's personality. Like when he's getting interviewed, it's all business. We're doing this and this and this. I asked him the same question. We're doing this and this and this. Like, how many times do I have to tell you? Like, you're not getting anything more from me. Next. Like that, he's consistent like that though, Mike. And if that's your personality, you know, I'm down with it. I'm a big cool Gabe. Kawhi Leonard's the best. What a performance is a playoff.
Mike blew it. A little piano on the way up.
Yeah, ooh. Like, scary.
Should have given him Eye of the Tiger for, since he's a Philly guy. Whoa, Philly sports on the way.
All right, fellas. Go Sixers.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it's okay. Have a good one, Mike. Oh, he's a Sixer fan, Gabe.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You know, it's funny, last week we were talking about Michel Therrien, the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Montreal Canadiens, and then the Montreal Canadiens and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think, did he get hired twice in the same spot? I don't even know. Like, I think he might have.
Is that the story? So,
you can't make this up. Yeah, so Alain Vigneault is the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers now, former Canadiens coach. And many other Ranger, whatever. So, yeah, Alain Vigneault is the coach of the Flyers. But we were talking about, we said Michel Therrien went off, and then Mike Yeo went off. Alain Vigneault has just hired Michel Therrien and Mike Yeo as his assistant coaches. Therefore, Cam, legitimately probably being the most psychotic coaching staff in the history of the National Hockey League.
That's a great point, man. You're a young Flyer, and you got to deal with these guys. It's going to be awesome. It's like old school.
Vigneault's
like,
a hard-ass Quebecer, just like
so
all business.
Vigneault's nuts.
Michel Therrien just wants to strangle you. And Mike Yeo is just like a nut job. You're all shit.
Like, you're right. You're going to be
the three of these guys behind the same bench. It's like,
oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And all these other guys, I'm going to tell you something. Their farm system, like the Philadelphia Phantoms, it's going to be like a yo-yo. Hey, kid, you suck. You're going back to the – like, they're going to be – like, kids, you better not buy a place, man. You better be renters, not buyers, because there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking in Philly. That's awesome. I love their bench.
Yeah, normally, too, it's like there's always a good cop on the bench.
No good cop.
There's no good –
there's nobody.
Like, you're on the bench here. Vigneault is just going to give you a dirty look, like, you better do better. Michel Therrien is like, I swear you're soft like I've never seen soft before. And then you got Mike Yeo, who went off on one of the biggest tangents of all time.
It's awesome. I don't even know, like, they planned it that way. It's so cool. You're right. Like, usually the assistant coach is like Rick Bonus. He's like chill or something. Like, these
guys,
man,
always a guy
they all got
the, like, yeah, I got your back. Like, the player's back.
I guess
there's, the coach.
I mean, maybe it's the equipment manager in Philly, because those guys... That's powder keg material right there.
See, like, if you and I were coaches, you'd be like the good guy. Like, the player, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to speak to Gabe about it.
Yeah, I'd still yell at him about Gabe. You know, I pull a yo on him, too. Don't worry about it. I'd be nice to a point.
Nice to a point. What kind of coach would Cam be?
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
In Europe, you'd actually think Ferenczi would be a calmer coach. You know, I'd go wild on the guys a little bit more. Chill. Afternoon MLB baseball action. Not rain, but bees causing a delay. Psst. In Cincinnati, Dietrich came out to play exterminator. Pure laughs. And Reds rookie Nick Senzel hit home runs in his back-to-back appearances. Wow, what a performance. Desclafani the win. Pomeranz the loss. Cincinnati hammering San Fran. 12-4 the final today. Here's the MLB sched tonight. We're up in about an hour's time, 6:10. We got the White Sox and Cleveland. Tribe minus 270, total 9. Nova and Bauer. 6:35 baseball action in New York. Seattle at the Yankees. Yankees $1.50, over under 9. Fernandez versus Sabathia. We got the Red Sox in action taking on Baltimore. Red Sox minus 170. Smith versus Mean. 7:07. Good one in Toronto. Jays minus 115. Perez versus Stroman. Total 8.5. Arizona, they battle Tampa Bay. Big favorites here. The Rays minus 220. 7.5. Kelly takes on Snell. 7:40. The Nats plane had issues last night. They were stranded in Philly. Now they got to play Milwaukee tonight. Brewers minus 115. 7.5. Scherzer versus Chasim. 2:08:05. Miami at the Cubs. Cubbies minus 265, 7 flat. Alcantara and Hamels. Philly and St. Louis. The Cardinals get swept by the Cubs. They're minus 130 tonight. Total 9. Velasquez, Mikolas, 8:10. We got KC, the Royals with cheese against the Astros. Astros minus 288. Junis and Cole. Two more at 10:10. Atlanta, hey, they are taking on the Dodgers. Dodgers minus 165, total 8. Gossman and Bueller, and the Mets and San Diego. Mets minus 115. DeGrom versus Paddock. Great pitching matchup. Low total 6.5. The Boston Red Sox putting lefty starter David Price on the IL with left elbow tendonitis. They've called up Ryan Weber from AAA Pawtucket. Price has been pretty good this season for Boston. After their horrible start, he leads the team in ERA, whip, and strikeouts with 42. Rare Monday finish in NASCAR today. It was postponed Sunday, and Martin Truex Jr., the 19 car, gets it done today. He qualified 13th, but he won the Gander RV 400 in Dover. His third win at that track. Alex Bowman second, Kyle Larson third, and Kevin Harvick, he finishes in the four hole. Doubleheader of NBA playoff action tonight. Things get going early at 7 o'clock. Boston and Milwaukee. Celtics small favorites, 1.5, 219 is your total. Bucks lead the best of 7, 2-1. Next up, Golden State and Houston at 9:30. Rockets minus 1. This was a pick 'em, 220. You're over under. Golden State up 2-1 there. NFL news. Former Bills offensive lineman Richie Incognito working out with the Oakland Raiders. The 35-year-old has been involved in numerous off-field problems and controversy. He also retired, but he's back, including getting arrested at his father's funeral for making threats and disorderly conduct. Two more on the ice tonight. First game of the double bill, Columbus taking on Boston. Big sports night in Boston. That's just after 7 o'clock. Jackets minus 125, total 5.5. The Bruins lead this series 3-2. Wow, Bruins and Celtics going tonight. Big night there at game 2. And hockey at 10 o'clock. Colorado hosting SJ Sharkey. Avs minus 130, over under 5.5. San Jose leads that best to 7, 3-2. Stevie Yzerman has found his right-hand man. Former Tampa Bay Lightning exec Pat Verbeek will join Yzerman in the Detroit Red Wings front office as assistant GM. Liverpool star Mo Salah will miss Tuesday's Champions League second leg of the semifinal versus Barcelona with a concussion. Barca leads 3-0 on aggregate. Me and Gabe both have futures there. And Maximum Security will not be running in the Preakness, the second jewel of the Triple Crown in 2 weeks' time. The host owners also say they are still appealing the disqualification for interference after they did finish the race first in a rain-soaked Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs on Saturday. Country House, as we know, was the big winner at 65-1. The appeals process could take months. So everybody, hey, stick around. I want to thank Mike Blewett for coming on the show. Lots of fun there. It's hour two. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage. More fun and hijinks coming up on the show, and picks two at the 6 o'clock hour in DFS. So stick around, everybody. Hour two of Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Oh, yeah.
All right, level two has begun. You know, I checked my tickets at the window, actually. I prefer playing the tickets on the machine now because whatever. I can just plow through it myself. I tried to get a prop going today. The guy couldn't find it. I had to play it on the machine myself. But I swear to God, I played $100 on the Yankees. I have a $50 ticket here. I'm doing the math. I'm adding it all up. I don't see how I got stiff because the number is all on the screen. But I swear I played $100, Cam. And I checked almost every ticket. But this one I'm looking and it's only 50, but I didn't play 50 on it. I played 100 and I'm doing the math right now and I'm pretty sure I think I got stiff for $50.
Check your pockets, check your coat. There might be a miscellaneous ticket floating around in there too, Gabe. I don't know. They're usually pretty good with that stuff, but yeah,
I know.
You know, I do the same thing at the horse race. I'm like, well, how come sometimes I always think the kiosk, like I put in the money and whatever, and they're usually good, like the credit vouchers. I've heard of problems before, like, but it's like one in a million. Like you hear, like I've been there so many times. I've only heard one guy complain about that stuff. So I think they got to be on the up and up.
Yeah, no, I don't think, you know, I think it would have been. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's just strange. I don't know. Very strange.
Maybe more money in your pocket. That would be nice. If you have $50 less, you'd hope you have a $50 bill so you can go to Michael's or, you know, buy some Chinese or do something for dinner later tonight.
It's going to bother me all day now, but it is what it is. Nothing I can do about it.
Those are the things in life that bother me the most, too. Like losing money. It's just like I'm telling you, Gabe, I've gone up with the drawers. I've pulled them all out, socks, underwear, thrown things in. Where did it go? You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like I had that El Cortez thing and it was kind of like lingering around in my passport. I had to get it out of my, I'm like, I got to send this in the mail now or else I'll lose it. I'll pour water on it. The barcode will get, you know, due to sunlight, it'll rub off. You got to be very careful with those tickets because people don't know. Ugh. If that barcode's gone, you're done. Like, don't get them wet. Got to keep them nice and flat.
Yeah.
That's why they give me on the thin paper. Thin paper, buddy. They're no fools.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
very,
he made a mistake.
Smart.
I think the guy made a mistake. I really do. He's a good guy. I played a million tickets.
Put it in a note to your phone and say, hey, I can't say. Can you go, like, do they have, can you say go to the tape and check it out from the day before? I don't know. I have no idea
probably
how things work there.
I
got to believe
could.
With a sports book with Candace say, listen, I left. I'm almost positive that by accident, I'm $50 short. Can you go to the tape? I got to believe they'd have their security system on for, you know, at least what do they keep, a week? A week of stuff on film, maybe before it becomes.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that anymore.
Good point.
I have no idea.
I even have the exact time of the ticket I played it. Exactly. They could totally see whether I put the money on the table or what it was. Yeah.
Remember what I told
you?
You
know what?
When those two guys stole my credit voucher from Shoeless Joe's. They had them on tape. I had $234 in a voucher. I turned around to celebrate with my buddy. These two idiots are playing Golden Tee. They ripped my credit voucher from the machine. It was great. These guys were really quick, too. The minute it happened, I started freaking out. I lost $250. I lost $250. These guys stole my money. Where the hell are they? Like, boom, they're out. They're out on the street. All I had to do, go to the tape. You see them steal it. Yeah. Woodbine, da-da-da-da-da. They call the OTB. It took me about 2 months to get my money back, but they sent me a check for the credit voucher, and Bob's your uncle. So they thought they were going to get money. They don't. So I hope you go to the tape and you got money. That'd be nice.
Please check your tickets before leaving the window.
Please.
Always.
Yes,
final.
That's what they... Unfortunately, that's the fine print. But...
Yeah. I guess I could bring it up without a... I'm pretty sure, man. I'm telling you.
I don't like when they got time print ring, too. You need a good, strong barcode. Strong barcode, please.
It pissed me off now. Like, I'll always wonder.
Yep.
Right, I'm going to bring this up tomorrow.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio, Network, iHeart Radio.
Yeah.
I am Morenci throwing it down to Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, where we play Jerry Bailey a little bit later on. Mike Blewett has joined us, and Cam has a new haircut.
Yep. $8, buddy. $8. Went down to see my lady in the Chinese Plaza. Also, a lot of things happening there. I was wondering why it was so busy. The place was packed, Gabe, because remember, it's Ramadan tonight, too. So a lot of people are fasting and stuff. The grocery store there, I guess, I don't know what they're doing. Deliveries are coming in for after Ramadan, but it was a very, very crazy day around my area there. Lots of activity. I think it's fasting time begins tonight for a lot of my neighbors. So, you know, it's what are you going to do? It's these guys are committed. I find it very hard to fast and not eat or drink anything for a long period of time. I don't even know how long. Would they go a whole day? It's craziness, man. Pretty intense.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to eat till like 7 in the morning or something.
Yeah, no water either.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the
yeah, Ramadan is when the sun rises, you got to eat breakfast before the sunrise. And then, like, as the sun is setting, that's when you're able to break your fast.
Oh, nice, Yang. Yeah, because the store near me, I usually get a lot of my produce, and they got great deals on meat there. So I go down to Kabul Farms and, like, really do some damage in the meat and vegetable department there. Great prices compared to regular grocery stores. And my haircutting lady's right next door. I can walk out of there with a bag of groceries and a haircut for, like, $20. It's great. That was the positive of my day. The problem was another check from the company came in, and this Canadian American exchange thing's really starting to piss me off. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna open up an American account because I'm getting hosed on the exchange. It's just it's like $25-$50 each time. I can't have any more of it. Sorry.
We'll get to
be
one, your banking.
Be happy with one thing, Gabe. I know your rent's expensive, but at least you get greenbacks, not colored money, right?
Money's money. My money's money. All right. We have NHL hockey. We got NBA. We'll get into the NBA. I played a ton of player props, and I got ripped off for $50, I'm pretty sure, earlier in the day. But I'm checking the tape. You're exactly right.
Because you got the time code on your thing. It's very easy to find out. Say, can you go back to this time and let's do it? Maybe they actually made a mistake and you get an extra 50 back. That would be great.
Yeah. I think I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure. Even when I'm doing the math right now, I'm almost freaking convinced, to be honest with you. It was an honest mistake. I'm not coming in there like, oh, I got ripped or anything like that. Stuff's going to happen.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, stuff's gonna happen. It is what it is. We'll see what we'll see what happens with the games here tonight. But it's just one of those things that's gonna bother me all day now. You know.
Hope you win, man, because that's the thing about those paper tickets. When you go back there with the plus money, it makes things a hell of a lot better when you're cashing them in with your guy, man. Like it's important. We got to hit some winners tonight, Gabe.
Yeah, we had a nice night last night with the Denver game. So we'll get into the NBA.
The
I played a bunch
too,
of players.
Right?
Yeah.
Raptors,
no, I didn't. I didn't bet it. I already have the series.
Yeah. See, yeah, I'm in. That's the thing that, and I'm glad I actually like. I talked to Hainser about this when he was here watching the Derby on Saturday. I'm like, I got Dallas right. They didn't take care of business. Now I got a game 7 tomorrow night, right? But I got these guys at plus 240. I'm thinking about taking St. Louis and letting it ride. That's why you do it at the plus 240, right? Like decisions have to be made tonight. Yep. I need Columbus tonight to get them to game 7 to be in a hedge situation, or else I'm just so I can't even touch the game. I just need Columbus to win. I really need the Jackets to win.
I think they will. I don't know if they'll win. They're not going to win a game 7 in Boston. It seems like Boston just find a way time and time.
Did
but
you see
I think
the
Columbus
last game?
Can win tonight.
Did you see the last game, Kentucky Derby night?
Not when much
of it, was here
no.
at my place, it was crazy, Gabe. It was Boston was leading, and then Columbus at the end just start ding, ding. They tied it up with a few minutes left. I'm like, yes, Hainser, yes. Because he had him on his ticket. I had them go to overtime. But exactly what you said. Boston scored with like a minute left. Party's over, man. And Columbus dominated them in the third period. They're at home tonight. They got to take care of business. Set up a game 7.
I think they will. I think they will. Columbus have played well under pressure.
Yep.
It's a winnable game for them. It's going seven. It's going seven. Just like, you know, Toronto took them to seven. I think they'll go to seven here. Boston aren't great, but they're just better. They're just better, and they're good enough. You know, so they're not going to blow anyone out.
Grizzled.
Exactly. They've been down this road before, these guys. But I think Columbus can pull it out tonight at -125. And you have Colorado and the Sharks. And I believe, you know, coming into this, I thought that, you know, Colorado's team speed and they had a good thing going here. But, you know, you see San Jose just aren't going to be denied right now, Cam. And I think San Jose are going to finish them off. They have two chances to do it. You take them tonight and then you take them one more time after. But I think SJ Sharkey gets it done on the road tonight, +110.
That's where we differ. I'm on like Columbus. I think Colorado wins tonight. It was a very, very tight game against San Jose the last game. You said it, though, man. Timo Meier from San Jose, one of the role players, really stepped up and got it done for them. But I think both home teams tonight in hockey, that's what we got to do. So I think both series go to seven, Gabe. Very small favorites at home. I'm taking them both. Need them both.
NBA basketball here this evening. You have the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. Marcus Smart is back. And, you know, Marcus Smart does a lot of things for the Boston Celtics, actually. I think this is going to be a massive addition back to the lineup. You never know how healthy somebody is when it's their first game back and what he can contribute. But Marcus Smart's one of their best players. That, you know, they've got star players, but there's always a guy on a team that just does all the little things. Marcus Smart is that guy. Milwaukee have gotten it going right now. Milwaukee are like so many other teams in the modern NBA. They're just so heavily dependent on a three-point shot, but they're pretty damn good at it. You know, they're an analytic team. I mean, they have the recipe down of basically Greek Freak takes it to the rack. I mean, the guy took 22 free throws the other night. Greek Freak takes it to the rack or they pop a three, and either one is kind of tough to stop because you're not stopping a Greek Freak in the paint. And, you know, they're going to shoot at 40% from three-point land. They're a tough team to deal with. They're not unbeatable. Boston season is on the line tonight. I think they bounce back. Now, listen, I had them on Friday, and it was a mistake. I should have split it. I could have rolled it over because I would have been right on the late game. But, yeah. You know, I don't even like the Celtics. I don't like betting on teams I don't like. I don't hate them or anything. But I think, you know, I thought Boston could hang with these guys. And I still think they can. I think Marcus Smart coming back tonight is going to be a big difference maker. I don't think the Celtics lose two consecutive games on their home court.
I'm with you. No, in the last game, they were leading for a while. Just when Milwaukee took that lead, they wouldn't be denied. Another thing, you know, you talked about it. The Greek Freak gets every call in the book, too. You want to talk about it? It's like unbelievable. Sometimes I thought the Celtics played good defense and he got calls, but this is what we talk about with the modern NBA. These stars, it's going to get calls. The league's a big fan of them. So, but tonight, Boston, you said it was smart. They got to take care of business. Veteran team understands a must-win game. Give me the Celtics as well. You're only laying 1 point. Take them on the money line. Let's roll.
And the big game tonight, of course, is Houston. Houston and Golden State, in which Steph Curry struggled on Saturday night. 17 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, but just 7-23 from the field, including 2-9 from three-point land. And I'll tell you what, you know, from a betting perspective, I played Curry tonight, the prop over. Curry's going to go over the 24.5 points scored tonight. He's been struggling. I mean, there's no disputing it. In fact, it's a little alarming. In fact, you have to go back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven games, man, that he hasn't scored more than 24.5 points. In this series, he scored 18 points in game one, 20 points in game two, and just 17 points in game three. For an average player, that'd be like pretty good, but for Steph Curry,
not for him. You know,
Curry's struggling a little bit, but the guy's good enough that I'm willing to back him and buy in right now.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decisions. We're getting into some NBA DFS. So we'll put together a team pretty much correlated with our props. Although we have a few star players in our props, I think we can still put it together here. One guy that went off the other night was Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon went off for what, like 30 points. His prop tonight was 18.5. He's averaging 24 points a game, actually. In the series, he's been very, very good in the playoffs, but he's lit it up in this series. So he had 30 points the other night. He had 15 in game two, and he had 27 in game one. His prop tonight is 18.5 points for Eric Gordon. And let's see. I have it here. Hopefully I didn't get stiffed on this one, too. Yeah, here it is. Eric Gordon. I got Iguodala over 10.5. We'll share all of our player props with you as we put together a lineup. Cam, you're going to put together a hockey lineup, two games tonight in the NHL.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Gabe. You're reading my mind. I just started to do that. I do have a hockey lineup with attention to detail with Columbus because I think they can get it done tonight, and some Colorado players tonight too. So, yeah, the two games makes it easier. It's hard with the single-game showdown, as you talked about, with the captain. I don't like that format. At least with two games, we could take our bets and the props, what we do, and build a team. So I'm there. Also, Gabe, on the weekend, it was unbelievable stuff. Kind of tricked myself. I thought I won a couple $1,000s, but when I checked my account, the guy who won on the PGA, Max Homa, I had him top 20 and top 10, but didn't even take $5 or $10. I usually do the win and then the two, but I guess I didn't really have faith in him winning, but I had him top 10 and top 20, which paid like $400. But you know his odds on Odd Shark were 300-1 to win the Wells Fargo, and he did in style. He smashed them. Beat down Rory McIlroy on Sunday, Duffner, all the big wigs, Max Homa, kid from Cal, same school as Aaron Rodgers, kick-ass golfer. He's really coming into his own. And watch out, this is exactly what happened with Brooks Koepka. Once you get that first win, you start to rise to the top. So we'll see how Max Homa does moving forward. Good, good player. Real good player. Under pressure. Like, great job by his caddy, too.
Good stuff. Great, so what, you weren't sure? You thought maybe you put... You thought maybe you put
$5 on him to win or something. Yeah. Nah, I had him top 10 and top 20, but Gabe, he's still 30-1 top 10. So that worked out well. I went put like $10 on it, $300.
Nice.
For top
nice.
10.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I'm telling you, I really like watching what the caddy did. He really helped him out. He kept it loose. It was like his best friend there. I didn't get into trouble. Gabe, Rory McIlroy, he put like balls in the water and stuff. It's weird, man. And I'm telling you, these Sunday matchup bets where you take these kids against these like established players, you're getting them at like plus 300 in matchup bets, and they're winning against the big dogs a lot of the time. It's really weird.
All right. I believe we've got Bobby Boston.
Yeah, Bob from Boston.
We go from Mike the Sixer fan.
Gotta think he likes the Bruins tonight and the Celtics. Gotta think.
Don't even need to ask him.
Nope,
yeah, who do you like tonight,
that.
Bob? Hello, Mr. Boston.
Hi, Cam.
Hey, Bob.
You guys are funny guys.
So who do you like, Boston or Columbus?
Boston, of course. I told you that this morning.
Yeah, Boston.
And then,
Boston,
of course,
Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, Celtics.
Yeah.
There it is, Gabe.
I like Milwaukee.
I wish life was as easy as we could read Bob's mind. We'd all be rich.
When's your birthday, Bob?
Yeah,
I'm going to get you a nice, we'll send you to the local tattoo shop in Vermont.
Yeah.
You get a nice big B logo on your arm.
No, I don't want
Boston
tattoos.
Logo.
I don't like tattoos. Nah. No, get New York Yankee logo or New York Giant logo. I just cheer for the team I don't like. I don't like those other teams. Look at Cam.
What do you have against the Milwaukee Bucks?
Huh?
What do you have against the Milwaukee Bucks?
No, I don't like that team. I never liked that team.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
I like the Milwaukee Brewers, though. They're a good team.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Brewers, yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
They're all right, Bob.
And Toronto Raptors are going to win their series, too.
I hope. See, Bob, now we're talking. That's good. I like that.
I like Toronto Raptors, I told you.
Yeah, you heard earlier on
the
show.
Maple Leafs. I'm sorry.
Sammy Sixer, a.k.a. Mike Blewett. Mike Blewett's a big Sixer guy.
And I do like the Seattle Seahawks, too.
Hey, Bob, you're speaking my language.
I like
you're trying to butter me up now. Yeah,
no,
it's nice.
I like your helmet. Look at your
Remember
beautiful
one,
helmet
Gabe?
Out there.
Remember this one, buddy, from
like
a long
the
time
old
ago?
One too.
Oh, yeah, no, that's the one. Like, you gave me that one. You gave
that's
me that
the
one.
New
Gabe
one.
Gave me this helmet from a. No, that's the old one, Bob. Like, look at that. Look at that. That's the old Sammy the Seahawk. We got
that.
Yeah,
that's
Gabe
the old one. I like the old one, too.
When he was doing a show.
That's with Steve Largent. Steve Largent used to wear that.
Yeah, I love that helmet.
Yeah,
it's a win.
They had a big team back then, too, you know.
Yeah,
you got like every Seahawk helmet there, Cam.
Yeah, it doesn't fit on the top one with all the stuff. But
yeah, I don't like
was
the
from,
pennant to your right.
So
I don't like that team.
Yeah, it's okay there, Bob. But yeah, maybe I'll put the old one up there. I like it more anyway. But Gabe gave me that a long time ago. He's doing a radio show, Bob, in Montreal, and it was really weird. It was just like a bunch of like Montreal like hockey memorabilia, but they had a Seahawks helmet there. Like out of all the teams. And you're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, thanks, man.
Like the Prez. The Prez is good, too. I like the Prez. I wish I could have talked to Mike Blewett. He likes talking to me. Especially when I give him my line notes for the NFL, remember? Right, Gabe?
Yeah, well, you can call back when the NFL season starts, Bob, and speak to Mike. Right?
I know. I can't wait. It's coming sooner than we think, right? It always comes.
Yeah.
Hey, Gabe, are you
around the corner?
Busy on May 31st?
Am I busy on May 31st? Why? What's on May for 31st?
Yeah, it's a Friday. It's a Yankee against the Red Sox team.
I don't know.
Do you go there? Me and my brother going to be there. We're going by bus.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to by bus trip.
Oh, you are? Oh, it's
the
Yankees and
the
Red Sox. Yeah.
We
got it might be in Montreal, actually, Bob.
You go to be
sure,
in Montreal that day?
Yeah, I might be around on the Friday, but I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Well,
okay,
so you're finally coming back home
to
New York?
See me and my brother? We're going to be down there.
I'm not going to the Bronx. So I can't guarantee I'm going to the Bronx that day. You can come visit us in the studio if you want.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. The game starts at 7 o'clock.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Have a good
I don't
one,
have
Bob.
To drive.
Okay.
I go by
we'll
bus.
See you. Well, I like what Bob said. Am I going to come see him in the Bronx? You can come see me, Bob, in the studio if you want.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like my friends, too. It's like they plan things 2 months ago. How the hell do I know where I'm going to be on, like, that day? You know what I mean? Like, anything could come up. Like, I don't like making plans that far in advance, Gabe. It's tough. You know what I mean? Let
May
alone 31st. There. Yeah, who knows? Yeah,
yeah
all I know is one thing, though. Memorial Day, I think it's on the 27th, the week of that Monday. So maybe Bob's doing a real road trip there. He wants to hang out and party all week in New York.
My deal is, too, who knows with the Toronto Raptors, right? Toronto Raptors could be playing basketball then. The NBA Finals could be around then, or the Eastern Conference Finals. I haven't been to a Raptor playoff game yet, but we'll see what happens. I'll be in Toronto next weekend. We'll see. I usually have bad luck for these things as far as how the schedule plays out. I'm going to be busy Saturday afternoon. But I don't know. I have a weird feeling there's a good chance the Raptors are playing at home next Sunday. Because, look, if they're playing Milwaukee, they won't have home court advantage. Milwaukee will. But to be honest, Cam, I might just stay anyways and just sort of, like, if I'm there on Saturday and Sunday and it's like, yeah, the Raptors are playing Monday or if it's, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I could do the show for a day or two, whatever. From a hotel
whatever. That's what I was going to say. Like, even if you had to come here, whatever, and do a show, I got my table here. Like, I don't know, whatever, how you want to
do the afternoon show with you, exactly. Like, I could figure it out.
You just come over with a computer and, like, you know, it's pretty simple now that we got all this stuff going on.
If I'm there, like I said, I'm hoping that the timing works out well. I get there next Saturday, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. So this is, in other words, the Raptors are going to have to get into the next round, obviously, for this to happen. You know,
correct.
But if they're into the next round, I should be there around when they're playing. I should be able to figure it out and get a Eastern Conference finals game in. Even though I've already been to an Eastern Conference finals game, I'd like to be in a game with the Raptors clinching the trip to go to the finals. That'd be a nice party. You know, leaving the arena all happy. Hey, we're going to the finals, but
we've left that arena many times not happy. So it'd be a nice change if it was happy. Yeah, Leafs regular season win. Yay. How about something in the playoffs? Yeah, I've big games in that arena, tough to come by, but I'll give all the people a lot of credit.
They're happy a few times, but more often than not. Yeah, it's
been not nearly enough. There's been more misery than happiness.
Only because for some reason, yeah, I've been there for the end a few times. So
with LeBron, like LeBron in the Cleveland games, those are the daggers, man. Those were the years. They hurt.
Yeah. Those were some daggers. But LeBron's not in the playoffs right now. We didn't have Kawhi Leonard before.
Exactly.
So Kawhi Leonard, an assassin right now. It's crazy the series prices, how they're flipping and going back and forth and they're all over the place. But the Raptors, who were minus like 230 when it started, and when they were down 2-1, the Raptors were plus 106 yesterday.
Wow.
So they were plus 106 yesterday afternoon.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Now the Raptors are minus 260 again.
It goes that high. That's so crazy, man.
Crazy, the swing.
The market.
Same thing, Cam, after the Boston Celtics won game one, the Milwaukee Bucks were minus 118 to win the series.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's the best way to gamble, man. We talked
minus 650 today. They come into tonight, the Bucks are minus 650 to win the series right now.
Think about what you said. So they win just two games in a row, and you go from a pick 'em to minus 650. That's nuts. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, you almost want to take, when you're taking a series bet, you hope you don't want your team to lose the first game, but it offers a lot of value if it does, and then you can just snap it up, Gabe. These series bets are the way to go, man, if you got patience. Sure.
You know, I like the Denver Nuggets actually on a series price. I see it at minus 152. Denver Nuggets, minus 152. You don't have to sweat out each game and stuff, but he's got to win two in the next three games. All right, Hall of Fame, Doc and Jerry Paley join us next.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Morning After continues. Fantasy Sports Radio, Television Networks, iHeart Radio, American Forces Radio Network, Sports Byline Affiliates, and everything else in between. I am Gabriel Morenci in Midtown Manhattan, Studio 34. Joe Ranieri is in Miami, Florida. We've been very, very fortunate over the last couple of days to have the top names in the game join us from Todd Pletcher this morning with Dane and Joe. Mike Smith joined us on the show last week. Fortunate that Jerry Bailey could take time to join us. We can't read all of Jerry's accomplishments because we don't have 10 hours. One of the greatest jockeys ever to mount a horse, two-time Kentucky Derby winner, Jerry Bailey, NBC Sports analyst, joins us. Jerry, good morning. I know you've been really busy. Thanks for joining us this morning, sir. How you doing?
Good, Joe. Gabe, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Well, you know what? I had maximum security in my pocket, Jerry, so I could be better, but...
Well, let me ask you this. How many races a year do you guys watch? Just like the big ones?
No, I'm in between. So I'm sort of, I go to the Meadowlands racetrack every day. And I bet on the sports over there. So I'll play the ponies every, on Saturday nights live racing. I owned a harness racer last year over at Woodbine and Georgian Downs. So I'm sort of in between a lifer and a casual guy.
All right. So what did you think?
I thought it was the right choice. Okay. I think, for the safety of everybody, how catastrophic it could have been. And me and Joe talked about it. It doesn't matter what I think. I'm going to ask you. But, Jerry, can you imagine if horses died at Kentucky Derby and jockeys died? Then a horse racer would get shut down. I think we were very close to disaster and catastrophe.
No, you're right. First of all, it's a shame it happened in the first place. I mean, and it's also a real shame that Maximum Security, who was clearly the best horse in the race, you know, didn't get the victory. I mean, it's tough for the fans, the bettors, the owners of this horse. But I, as you said, I think it was the right call. You know, it's a lot like driving. You know, you've got to stay in your lanes. I mean, we don't have stripes out there, but we know as riders when we're in a lane, and we know when we change. And just like driving, you've got to have proper clearance. We can change lanes, but you have to have proper clearance. And there's the added element when you clear, when you think you're trying to clear somebody, that the horse's legs reach out. Like when you're walking in a crowd, you know, you've got to leave the guy in front of you a little clearance. You're going to step on his heel.
Personal space is still personal space, even in this race. So what do you say to Dean Wade Lucas, who says, hey, I've been run off the track numerous times in this race and didn't complain about it after? That seems to be a very minority type of take that, you know, hey, you know, President Trump, political correctness, let them run. It's a rough race. What do you say to the old guard that anything goes out there? And, like, you've been in this spot. You've been in this middle of controversy at the Derby and bumping and stuff. You know this stuff happens, but was this just that, like, a whole other case to the extreme on Saturday?
Well, as you pointed out, this could have been catastrophic. The day before, they ran the Oaks, which is the female version of the Kentucky Derby. Shortly after they left the starting gate, number 7, Jaywalk, crossed over in front of a Positive Spirit. Positive Spirit clipped the heels of the horse Jaywalk and fell. Fortunately, it was just out of the gate, and the horses were like in a line across the track, so there was no trailing horses. That's not the case in the Kentucky Derby. Had War of Will or Long Range Toddy or any or Bodie Express fallen, can you imagine the pileup behind them in that particular situation? It could have been horrible.
Yeah.
So the stewards, by the letter of the law and rule of law on the racetrack, made the right call because Maximum Security on the lead shifted lanes at the top of the stretch without proper clearance, causing interference to number 1, War of Will, who in turn caused interference to number 18, Long Range Toddy, and then number 21, Bodie Express. If you look at the film, War of Will's legs were all up in between Maximum Security when he came out in front of him. I mean, he could have easily fallen. So it's a safety issue.
Hey, Jerry, listen, a lot of people, too, the narrative now is, you know, why 20 horses? Like, and why do we have auxiliary gates? Like, can't we come up with a gate that's like 20 across that everyone starts in the pretty much on the same angle? Because if you're game winner right now, you know, game winner was on the outside along there with Country House. If he would have maintained that trajectory, we'd probably be having a different conversation right now. But unfortunately, out of the auxiliary gate, cuts hard left into the middle of everyone else and gets buried. So what do you say to people? Say, hey, why 20 horses? Like, shouldn't we be cutting down on the horses here?
Well, I would answer that. It's Churchill Downs call there. But if you look back over history, with all the crowding and bumping that goes on, the best horse almost always wins. Almost always.
That's what's fascinating to me about that, Jerry. I was thinking about that last night. I was in an Uber. I was thinking that.
you look at what they do when they go back and run in the Preakness with 14 horses. The same horse usually wins or finishes in front of the horses that he beat before. And you go on later on in the year, the best horse usually wins the Kentucky Derby. Look it. I mean, you could have trouble I've had trouble in a 5-horse field, you know, when they're, because everybody's looking at everybody else, and, you know, certainly lots of trouble in 12 and 14 horse fields. Inquiries and fouls happen every week in racing, and they're not near the 20 horse field. So it's up to the riders to maintain straight courses. And the more that the stewards, who are like police force on the track, they're watching these races, the more they let stuff get by, then the more the jockeys will try and get by with. Just like speeding. If there's no speed limits and they don't enforce them, then more people are going to speed. So they had to make a stand. They had to make a call, and it was clearly interference. So I think it was the right call.
Mr. West is appealing now, and, you know, he's very, very unhappy. And I guess the word was a disgrace, or Churchill Downs, or disgraceful, and I get that it's emotional right now, but should he just accept this and move on? I mean, what's there to appeal right now? The appeal happened, and you know, the horsemen such as yourself and with people, you know, the guys that have been in this game forever say it's the right decision. It's not really controversial. It's too bad it happened, but the decision seems to be the right one, isn't it? I don't really know what there is to appeal right now. I guess it's kind of just of a shame moving forward, but is it bad for the sport, Jerry? I don't think so. And I heard Bill Mott say, you know, it shows that we can do the right thing under the light. And if anything, it just has people talking about the sport, right? I don't think it's per se bad for the sport what happened. What do you think?
I think all your points are valid. I understand Mr. West, his frustration here. Look, in real time, I didn't see it at first.
Neither
did my colleague, Randy Moss. And so then we started looking back at the replays that we were had available to us. And then you could see, after you watched it a couple times, what happened.
I have so much respect for you, Jerry. Sorry, but I was at the Meadowlands when it happened. I had a few beers. It's the fog of war. And this is garbage. This is BS. And, you know, I didn't see anything after I saw it a few times. And then I got back home, and you were on, and you said it was the right call. And I swear to God, I said to myself, well, Jerry says it's the right call, and Randy is saying, you guys saw it. I got nothing to complain about, and I just shut up on social media after because I didn't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah, no, it was the right call, especially when you look at it several times from a couple of different angles. There's one angle in particular. But look, there's a bigger point here that the reason that a lot of people are frustrated is the stewards who made the call, they didn't even tell us that Bodie Express's jockey, Long Range Toddy's jockey, John Court claimed foul. My biggest question was, why didn't the horse that was first impeded, which was War of Will with jockey Tyler Gaffione, why didn't he claim foul? That was my biggest question, you know, immediately after the race, because that's typically the rider that will claim foul. Well, apparently reading the transcripts, his trainer, Mark Cassie, classy guy, said, look, we were eighth. You know, and Tyler told him, he said, I was impeded a lot. I almost fell. And he said, look, we finished eighth. What are we going to get? Put up to seventh? There's still no extra payday for us. So he told the jockey, he said, don't claim foul.
Top five,
all
baby.
Right. But the stewards are supposed to talk to every rider involved. And I don't know if they did or not. I hope they did. But then they're supposed to, by agreement, relay to us at NBC, okay, here's the ones that claim foul. Here's what they said. Here's what we're looking at.
It's
and
too
then
bad.
After the fact, here's our decision, and this is why. All they did was hold a press conference a couple hours later and took no questions, and I think that's a bad move by the stewards.
Yeah. I think it's too bad now, and now Mr. West has announced he's not going to be running in a Preakness. So that's sort of disappointing, and now to sort of have this lingering effect over the next two races.
Yeah, well, that's not a surprise. Because Maximum Security, had he been awarded the victory that he earned, I believe he would have gone to the Preakness. But this is a horse that exerts a lot of energy. And prior to this, his third win of his life, he won by 18 and a half lengths. And the trainer, John Service, wasn't sure he was going to run him in the Florida Derby because that effort took so much out of him. He ultimately did run him in the Florida Derby, and he won that. And that was with a month, I think it was maybe over a month rest. So it didn't surprise me when he was disqualified that they wouldn't run him back in the Preakness because of that more than just sour grapes.
If anything, and I'll say this, and John, I don't know if you got anything on the way out, but there's always so much talk, Jerry, about the horse racing industry and this and it's bad and that and this. As somebody that goes to the Meadowlands daily, and like I play sports over there too, but I'll play the ponies as well. Place is full every day, man. And, you know, there seems to be a big passion for the sport of horse racing still, Jerry. Where's the sport at right now? I know it wasn't the best of summer over at the best year over at Santa Anita this past year, but where's the sport of racing at right now, in your opinion?
Well, the way I look at it, the total sport is in a bit of decline, as in boxing, but our big events are bigger than ever.
Yeah.
The three Triple Crown races and our Breeders' Cup, they're as strong or stronger than ever. It's just the everyday races that are less attended, and that's a concern, but the big events are still big.
Jerry, it was an honor to have you on the show, sir. I'd like to do it again. Thanks for the time, my man.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Jerry Bailey with us. Oh, there it is, Joe. Hard for us to – how do you come back to that guy?
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
Like arguing baseball with Joe Torre or something. You know what I mean?
You don't.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're right, Yang. It's mini cap time for those taken in the 2019 NFL draft, and they get introduced to their new playbooks and start study up for the 2019-20 NFL season. And for fantasy football enthusiasts and NFL gamblers, you guys need to start doing your homework too. If you're serious about fantasy football and wagering on NFL futures or contests, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season. And Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts providing NFL dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play, while providing you with all the data and insight you need to be successful at the betting window. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with FNTSY, the NFL 365 fantasy football package, only at rotoexperts.com.
Yeah, NFL fantasy football is a 365 operation. It's interesting. NFL.com actually sent me an email today stating my 2019 fantasy football leagues are ready to go. As evidently, I don't know. I mean, hey, I love fantasy football as much as anybody, but it's only May right now. Is it May 6th or May 7th? Whatever it is. And yep. Colonel Kurtz tweeted me and said, no, I've already done a draft. So Colonel Kurtz has done a draft. Our boy Kyle Hamburg just did a mock draft. So it's true. It never really is too early to start kicking the tires. And I was actually thinking about that. It is time to start digging in and start looking for the futures. The only thing is, like our boy Paul Bovey, he played the Buffalo Bills over 6.5 already. And he put $5,000 on it. So he put 5 dimes on the Buffalo Bills at over 6.5, which I like the bet. I like the Bills to win more than 6.5 football games this year, but it's real ballsy to do it right now, man. You know, you never know when somebody's going to go down in training camp. Every year, a couple of quarterbacks get hurt in camp or preseason. There'll be a running back, a big-time running back that'll get hurt, a big-time wide receiver. Somebody's getting suspended. It happens every year. You know, TMZ video, PEDs, this, that, another thing. And no, this year will be no different. There's always just sort of a couple of curveballs that are thrown. I always find, like, if you're going to bet a future now at this time of the year in the NFL, then if you're going to, you bet an under. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, I think this team goes under, because it's not like anything really good is going to happen to a team between now and then. You know what I mean? They're not getting anyone else. Like, Jerry Rice isn't coming. You know what I mean? Like, what can happen? The draft has already happened. Maybe other players in their division can get hurt. That's a possibility. But I always just have a hard time betting an NFL future before the preseason's done.
I'll also say this, Gabe. If you had $5,000 of disposable cash and, you know, you wanted to walk around to the book, you might have bet Buffalo Bills over 6.5. It's also, you know, thinking about the cash, the situation you have, how you're going to allot that cash, how many futures you're going to do, how many leagues you're going to join. There's a lot of things.
Well, the number might not be 6.5 by then, too. I mean, it's steaming up. It's like minus 180 or something. It might get up to 7, right? So he got it at 6.5 minus 140. He actually moved it like 30 or 40 cents after he bet it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Jacksonville. That was the thing. Like, if I'm thinking about doing it, I actually want to pull the trigger there now, because I think it's probably going to go down, not up. I like the under there with Nick Foles, and we'll see what happens. But I like Bovey's pick. I think the Bills with their defense are going to win games alone. Another year under the belt. I really like what this team could do. You don't want to play this team right now. Defensively, they're going to murder you.
This is where you got to do some shopping around. As Pete just tweets in, he's listening, obviously. He says, bet Chris has 7 for the Bills now. See?
See, that's
man, and there was even a difference. 6 briefly out there. I think at Cantor Gaming. There was that six. Then it was like 6.5, and then it started to get shaded up. Bills are a trendy team with Sharks coming into this year.
He hit the NASCAR today?
No, but I actually did like freaking Truex Jr. No kidding. I really did. I'm not even shitting you. Whatever. But they laid dollars short.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.